All right. Thank you, John, and thank you all for sticking it out for the last presentation. All right, so I'm going to be presenting our research on the impact of consumers' visual attention to product attributes on their willingness to pay for apple juice. I'm going to start with a brief introduction to the project as well as the attributes that we looked at, go through our materials and methods, results, and then wrap up with a few concluding remarks. So in the retail setting, consumers are exposed to many different products. It has been estimated that in a typical grocery store, they're exposed to 15,000 products per visit. And all of these products have many different attributes. And these are communicated at the point of purchase. And these point of purchase materials strongly impact consumer behavior. For instance, food labels have shown to strongly impact purchasing decisions, and two-thirds of final purchasing decisions are made at the point of purchase, once again, in a grocery store. But we are not sure which attributes really matter, and we're not sure about what consumers actually look at and how that impacts their search behavior. So we combined eye-tracking analysis with experimental auctions to investigate these questions. The attributes we were interested in included production methods. And past research has shown that organic production methods are becoming increasingly popular among consumers. The consumer's responses to seeing organic production methods on products has tend to been that they see them as containing less pesticide residues, so they're viewed as safer and healthier than conventional products. Additionally, they're viewed as being higher quality than conventional products. Partially due to these reasons, the demand for organic products is increasing, and consumers are willing to pay more to obtain these products. A second production method of interest was all natural. And consumer response to this has been very similar to organic production in that they view these products as being of superior quality. However, they tend to interchange this term with organic production. Another attribute of interest was country of origin labeling. This has become a hot topic in recent years, and consumers' response to this has been they really want to know where their products are coming from. They're very interested in domestic as well as locally grown products, and they tend to view those as higher quality due to reduced transportation miles, as well as that they are safer and healthier than imported options, partially due to familiarity with domestic quality and safety measures. And as a result, there's growing demand among consumers, and they are willing to pay more to obtain these products. My last attribute of interest was nutrient content claims. These are not nutritional labels. Instead, they indicate the level of nutrients within a product. For example, you will see them often as this product is low in nutrient X, Y, and Z, or a good source of high in, and so forth. The research on consumer responses to nutrient content claims has primarily been in the dairy industry and among cereal products, and they tend to view products with nutrient content claims as being healthier than those without. They're more likely to purchase these products, and they believe the nutrient content claims more if that nutrient is naturally found within that product. However, there is some skepticism among consumers about the credibility of these claims. So with this in mind, the two objectives of this project were to first investigate the impacts of production method, origin, and nutrient content claim labels on consumer preferences for apple juice, and secondly, evaluate potential correlations between willingness to pay estimates and visual attention to these attributes. And this table just shows the attributes and attribute levels that we used. I already talked about the production methods, but I want to give you just a little bit more on the origin and nutrient content claims. So for the country of origin labels, we used Minnesota grown as the local label, product of the USA as the domestic, and then product of China as the import. And China was selected because according to the USDA data in 2010, it accounted for 78% of the imported apple juice by wholesale value to the U.S. The nutrient content claims included vitamin C enriched and naturally high in vitamin C. These two were selected based on retail observations. Additionally, we wanted to see if adding a nutrient versus having that naturally occurring had an impact on consumer willingness to pay and selection. All right, so participants were recruited from the Minneapolis-St. Paul and surrounding area. We needed them to physically come in for our study, so we had to have a localized sample. All of them were screened. We asked the question, are you the primary grocery shopper in your household? In total, 98 people participated in this study, of which 93 were able to have their eye movements recorded. This did not surprise us because about 10% of the population cannot have their eye movements recorded. They evaluated 8 images of apple juice, and apple juice was selected because, one, it's a product that's readily available in a typical grocery store, and secondly, apples are a product produced in Minnesota. We evaluated the data using a Tobit model because we were looking at willingness to pay estimates, and we left censored those at zero, and we used Stata software to analyze it. For the experimental design, we used a Becker, DeGroote, Marshak, or BDM experimental auction. So participants looked at these images and determined how much they would be willing to pay for that product if they saw it in the retail setting. And while they were doing this, their eye movements were being recorded. Research has suggested that there's a correlation between task and what participants look at. And so that's what we were testing by running this at the same time. Upon completion of that, participants completed a questionnaire. Now, there are benefits to both of these methodologies. The experimental auctions reduce hypothetical bias, where what participants state they are going to do and what they actually do vary. And how it does this is that there are real economic consequences. These participants actually paid a price to obtain that product, and so this gave them an incentive to reveal their true value for those products. Now, the eye tracking technology, the benefit there is that it's real search behavior. This technology is non-invasive, and participants often forget their eyes are being tracked. And as a result, this removes any potential errors or bias because they're actually looking for these different attributes, and we can then measure what the response is. To give you an idea of what this looks like, this image shows a computer monitor with the Tobii X1 light eye tracker at the bottom. So participants would view the image of the apple juice on the screen, and while they were doing that, this camera at the bottom would reflect infrared light off their eyes and record what they were viewing. So the recordings included fixations where the eye was relatively still, as well as saccades, which is when the eye is moving. And fixations were of interest to us because that's when information acquisition tends to occur. Additionally, increased fixations tend to indicate information processing is occurring, or the consumer's making a decision, or that the information is difficult for them to understand. So what we looked at in our analysis here was fixation counts, or the number of fixations per attribute. So looking at our summary results of our sociodemographics, our average participant was 51 years old and had some college education. 27% of the sample were men, and this we anticipated to have a higher percentage of women since they tend to be the primary grocery shoppers within households. 64% of the sample were in a relationship. The average household size was 2 to 3 people, and the average 2011 household income was $52,000. And then our participants stated that their weekly grocery budget was right around $91.45. All right, so this graph shows our Tobit model coefficient estimates for participants' willingness to pay bids for apple juice. This was a total sample of 98 people, and the base price was $1.65. And so looking at this, you can see essentially whether people were willing to pay a premium or they wanted a discount to purchase that apple juice if it had that attribute. So compared to conventionally produced apple juice, participants were willing to pay nearly 20 cents more for organic apple juice. All natural was not significant. Compared to the imported apple juice, they were willing to pay right around 78 cents more to obtain locally produced apple juice, and they were willing to pay about 62 cents more for domestically produced apple juice. Neither of the nutrient content claim labels were statistically significant when compared to no nutrient content claim. For the demographics, as participants became older, they were willing to pay less for these products, and that did not surprise us simply because the core consumer of apple juice tends to be young children. And so as folks age, they tend not to have those younger children within their household. Similarly, as the household size increased, people were willing to pay more for apple juice, which is consistent with that core consumer. People who were in a relationship were willing to pay less. Gender was not statistically significant. As income increased, participants were willing to pay less. And then education was not statistically significant either. The second graph shows our Tobit model estimates of fixation counts on participants' willingness to pay bids for apple juice. For this, we had the smaller sample size of 93 people with a base price of $2.23. And essentially, this shows that as people fixated more on these attributes, how did their willingness to pay estimates change? So participants who fixated more on organic were willing to pay nearly 90 cents more for that product. Those who fixated on all natural were willing to pay right around 19 cents more. For the origin, local and domestic were not significant. However, those who fixated more on the import logo were willing to pay much less. And this comes back to potential safety concerns over products imported from China. Neither of the nutrient content claims were significant, and our demographics mirror what we saw previously in the previous slide. So in conclusion, we found through our experimental auction results that consumers valued local, domestic, and organic apple juice, and this represents a potential market niche for those producers who are producing these products. But the nutrient content claims did not have a significant impact on consumer willingness to pay. For the visual attention results, we found there was a correlation between fixations and consumers' willingness to pay. For those who fixated more on organic and natural, this was a positive impact. For those who fixated more on import, this was a negative impact. So the implications here are that there are potential niche markets for apple juice retailers and producers, for the local, domestic, and organic markets. And to market these products, there's potential to improve the visibility of these positive attributes to improve consumer demand for those products. And thank you all for being here. Do I have time for questions? Oh, all right. Yes. She asked, why is it we cannot track everyone's eye movements? That could be a very long-winded answer. All right, what it comes down to is sometimes since it's reflecting eyes or reflecting infrared light off the pupils, if, for instance, you have bifocals or trifocals, as the pupil bounces between those different lenses, it can impact that reflection and it just doesn't let you calibrate. Also, like if there's puffiness around the eyes, sometimes it doesn't get the reflection right. I had one gentleman, his irises were so dark you could not see where his pupils were and it would not pick him up at all. Eyelashes, clumpy makeup can sometimes be a problem. And sometimes the lighting doesn't work as well. Like in direct light, the eye tracker, something messes with the ability for it to reflect, and it does not do well. So there's a variety of reasons. Yes? Well, there in other industries there are studies on brands. I used the logo in this research. Hindsight, I wish I would have used logo and the word just to see what the difference was. But to date, there isn't research on the organic logo specifically how it is presented. Yes. Do you mean cross-section as in people who buy a plethora of products, or?
Yeah, I mean, was this kind of random sampling in Minneapolis, or was this, were you at a health store?
Oh, no, this was random. Oh, sorry. She was asking about the sampling method and what our sample demographic essentially comes down to. We put an advertisement in Craigslist, a couple in newspapers. We contacted previous study participants as well in order to get more of a broad sample rather than just going through different grocery store networks.